Welcome back to another episode of the Real Talk on Women's Health Podcast with Essentia Health. We are talking about pelvic floor therapy today. I'm joined by two guests. We have Paige Slemons and Amber Tenorelli from Essentia Health. Thank you guys for joining me.
Absolutely.
So before we get into pelvic floor therapy, can you guys tell us about your background, like how long you've been providing pelvic floor therapy and what led you to specialize in pelvic floor therapy?
I have been a PT for 14 years and I started in pelvic floor three-ish years ago, actually, from Paige. She helped me with some of my own problems and just kind of where I was at in life, having kids, you know, leaking my pants, back pain. That's just kind of what brought me here.
So very serendipitous that both of you guys are here today. Paige, what about you? What is your background like?
So I've been a physical therapist for 5 years, and I was very lucky that someone a year ahead of me in school said I should go to this clinical in Portland. They thought I would like women's health. And the day that I knew I wanted to do women's health, there was a woman that came in. She was super excited because she was able to bring her grandkids to the movies without leaking. So she felt like she had more control to get out of the house.
Both of you, by the way, are doctors of physical therapy. So we're excited to have you here to talk about pelvic floor therapy. Let's start by talking about what exactly it is, because I hear a lot about it, but I guess hearing you guys and your background, maybe I don't know exactly what it is. So can you kind of tell us what it is and what are the common conditions that you treat?
Yep. So pelvic floor physical therapy is going to be just a branch of what you think of typical outpatient physical therapy. So with physical therapy, we're looking, where are you weak? Where are you tight? Where are you uncoordinated? A lot of times pelvic floor therapy is going to look at your hips, your core, how is the whole system working together. Typical diagnoses that we treat would be urinary incontinence, and that's anytime you're leaking without wanting to. Doesn't matter if you've had 5 kids, it's still leakage. That can be with urge or stress. We can also treat bowel issues, so that could be constipation or leakage of stool. We can treat pelvic pain, so that's pain with intercourse. Also, we can treat symptoms of people that have endometriosis or interstitial cystitis. Also can treat pediatric incontinence and constipation. And then men can also have pelvic floor issues that can be treated.
You know, and it ranges anywhere from, like she said, pediatrics all the way up to, I've treated someone who's 95. So kind of the full range.
So when I think of pelvic floor therapy, to me, that's like moms or people that just had kids, but it really is everybody.
Absolutely. I personally have had my daughter in, she's 8, and she was having a hard time with constipation and some stool leakage, and a couple visits, she was doing great.
Yeah. And I guess I didn't know that it had to do with like constipation and things like that. So I am already learning a lot on this podcast. So how common are pelvic floor disorders and what are some of the symptoms we can look out for?
I would say it's a lot more common than people think. I would say most people, most females or males listening to this podcast, have probably felt something. Cough, you sneeze, you jump on a trampoline. It's not normal to leak with that. It doesn't matter if you've had kids or not. You know, it kind of ranges all over the place. I think if something seems weird, come in.
Sometimes people can feel like pelvic pressure or feel like they're falling out or it feels like they're sitting on a ball. That can be pelvic floor dysfunction too. Leaking with like CrossFit or running or any of that is a pelvic floor dysfunction. I actually had SI joint pain from a chronic track injury, and I had zero symptoms of what I would think would be a typical pelvic floor dysfunction. And I found out, hey, I needed to treat my pelvic floor and it helped my back pain. So it's just a deep part of the core that we don't think about, and it can show up many different ways.
Yeah, I would say most of the back pain patients I treat typically at some point leads to pelvic floor dysfunction.
That's interesting because the back and like the spine, that's also something I would never have thought had to do with pelvic floor therapy and pelvic floor. So this isn't life threatening. And it sounds like there are things that you can do to feel better once you realize that something's off.
Absolutely.
So how do you assess a patient's pelvic floor dysfunction? Like what evaluations do you guys do to see how severe it is, what might be causing it and things like that?
So we'll start with a pretty in-depth subjective. So that's kind of getting someone's background or story. I like to just first, what are they coming in for? What are their main concerns? And then I like to clear, what is their bladder health? What is their bowel health? And are they having any pain with intercourse? Because sometimes people are coming in and they're not knowing what symptoms are all related. So with their subjective history, that will lead us into some more objective tests that we can do. That can be looking at posture. That can be looking at hip strength, what you'd think of typical physical therapy. As a physical therapist, we go to 7 years of school to get a doctorate. And then pelvic floor physical therapy is continuing education classes on top of that. I think both Amber and I have over 50 hours of continuing education just in pelvic floor therapy. So that's when we learn to do an internal assessment. So that can be looking at the pelvic floor muscles themselves. I want patients to know that they are in control of anything that happens. And if they are not comfortable with an internal assessment, that is something that can wait or doesn't need to be done. There is actually a lot we can do by treating the core with like stress incontinence and looking at coordination. When someone's having more pain with intercourse, that's when I typically tend to think internal assessments are more helpful. We don't use a speculum. We're not in stirrups. I've often had people see it. It's a little bit more comfortable than a gynecological exam. It's one-on-one. You're in a private treatment room.
I would say I also am starting to specialize in menopause. And so I get into, okay, where are you at with your aging? What are your symptoms of that? Have you looked at your hormones? Because that makes a difference. I'm sure all of us do a lot of medication assessment. You know, what medications are you on? Because that itself can cause some urinary problems as well.
Yeah, there's so many things that play into this that I didn't know about. How do you guys tailor your treatment plans to meet the individual needs of your patients? Because it seems like there's so many different things that can factor into somebody needing this type of therapy.
Absolutely. You know, I have new moms come in who are like, do whatever you need to do. Just fix me. We have women who come in who have gone through trauma, and that itself can cause problems. You know, if they're holding stress or holding problems with that, and that's a lot more in depth. It's making them feel comfortable working at their pace, saying at any point we can stop if we need to be done for today, you know, and then it goes all the way up to 85-year-olds who I've gotten, you're the first person to do an assessment on me in 25 years. So I'd say it's meeting the person where they're at and their personality. You know, I think as therapists, we have 50 personalities and it's which one needs to show up that day.
I love that. So you just mentioned you had an 85-year-old patient. Are there any specific populations or groups of people that can benefit from pelvic floor therapy? Maybe any age-related considerations?
I think it can go across the whole lifespan. So for pediatrics, are they having issues with constipation? And are they bedwetting longer than you think they would? So they might benefit from pelvic floor therapy. It can start as a teenager. Are you having giggle incontinence? Or are you leaking then? Or are you not able to use a tampon? And that hurts if that's what you want to use for sanitary care. And throughout any life cycle for women, whether you're having kids, not having kids, if you're having symptoms, it can be anywhere in that range. And then as we go through menopause and our hormones change and our activity levels change, that can also affect our pelvic floor muscles. Cancer patients can also benefit from pelvic floor physical therapy or occupational therapy. If their muscles get tight from radiation, we can try help stretch those out. Men have the same issues, so it can be any age range.
I personally really enjoy working with the older geriatrics. I think, you know, we all have gone through the aisles with the diapers, as we call it. We don't call them that. It's pads, incontinence products, but a lot of people can benefit or get out of using those products just from doing some simple strengthening exercises.
So let's take somebody that maybe doesn't have any of the glaring issues you guys mentioned. Can they benefit from pelvic floor therapy too?
Absolutely. I was just working with a college track athlete who had the SI back pain, like Paige said. You know, we did all the exercises and nothing hit it. And I said, you know, are you okay with just doing an internal exam? Let's just see what we got. And sure enough, one of her muscles was tight. We got it released. We focused on that muscle and she was fine. Never had pain again. So it's surprising where you can see the issues.
So what are some self-care practices or exercises that we can all do in our daily routine to support our pelvic floor health?
I think in general, yoga can be a good one. Your pelvic floor is really incorporated with breathing. It moves with your diaphragm. So yoga is a nice way to work on full hip range of motion and strength. It's kind of a hard question to answer because depending on what your symptoms are, I know a common treatment that people think for pelvic floor therapy is Kegels. But if you're having pelvic pain and unable to relax your pelvic floor, you might actually need to do the opposite of a Kegel. So those exercises could be making your symptoms worse. So yoga is kind of a nice way if just in general might be hitting both aspects of it. I think a lot of physical therapists or occupational therapists who treat pelvic floor therapy are looking to educate patients. So if someone's ever having any concerns and just like, hey, can you educate me on coordinating everything, make sure everything's going okay? It can be a 1 or 2 session thing just to build your confidence to go do other movements. Meditation and managing your stress can be another huge thing. Like some people carry stress in their upper traps. Your pelvic floor is another area we can hold clench and carry stress in. So hip strength, core strength, anything that makes you stronger is going to help support your pelvic floor.
So what are the typical goals for patients undergoing pelvic floor therapy? I know you guys mentioned sometimes you have patients, it's a 1 or 2 sessions and they're done, but what's like the overall goal, I guess?
I think my overall ultimate goal is to improve quality of life. I don't think people realize how much leaking through a pad 6 times a day can impact someone's life, or you're coughing and you're sneezing, you go to the trampoline park. You know, you don't want to have to worry about that with your kids. Mainly our goals are just, okay, what bothers you? What stops you? But ultimately it's just to help them get through a day.
When you had asked earlier how we change our treatments for patients, that's going to determine what our goals are. What are their goals? It doesn't matter what mine and Amber's goals are. It matters what the patient's goals are.
Yeah, that's a good point. So do you guys feel like there's misconceptions about pelvic floor therapy, and maybe what are some of those?
I would say the main misconception that people come in with is like, hey, are we just going to do Kegels?
What I would have thought, to be honest, before this podcast.
Yep. I think in the 5 years I've been practicing, I've maybe just given pure Kegels 10 times. And it's usually more for coordination. If you think of the pelvic floor like a trampoline, we want it to contract when we want it to. We want it to relax when we want it to. And sometimes it's how the whole system's working together. It's making sure your core is helping your pelvic floor out and the pelvic floor isn't doing the whole job by itself. So yes, pelvic floor therapy is so much more than Kegels. And you can actually keep your clothes on for a decent part of it. If you're having pelvic pain and like tight pelvic floor, that's when manual therapy or working on relaxing the muscles might be more helpful for internal work. But those are my biggest things that I noticed.
I would say I hear more often than not at the end of the evaluation, I had no idea that it was this involved. Like I thought, like you said, I just come in, get a couple exercises and I'm fine. We go through a lot of education, a lot, and just helping people understand, you know, we're not giving out crazy exercises. You're not sweating. It's working on coordination and helping the body do what it's supposed to do.
In general, I feel like if something's wrong, like we don't want to go to the doctor or get physical there because we're just scared of the unknown. How do you guys address those kinds of fears?
Again, education and making them feel comfortable, making it a very safe and open space. Again, the trauma thing comes up. You know, I've had trauma. I don't know if I can do this. Okay, let's talk about how we can work through this.
I like to remind some patients too that what they're telling me is probably not the first time I've ever heard it.
Yes.
So you guys probably hear it all. Yeah.
Yes.
So how do you guys work with other professionals in different facets of the healthcare industry to collaborate?
That's my favorite part. I'm constantly, even just with therapists, I'm constantly running across the hall, Paige, what do you think about this? Working at Essentia, we have the benefit of having access to people's charts. You know, we can send messages back and forth to the doctors, to the gynecologists. Okay, you're on this medication. This is going to cause urinary frequency. Let's talk to your doctor about that. I hear back from the doctor pretty quick. A lot faster than maybe a MyChart message if someone was doing it themselves. I'm working with their gynecologist. Okay, can we look at their hormones? I did this assessment. You know, what did you see? Or can you see them for that? Especially with pregnancy, we work pretty closely with the gynecologists and obstetrics pretty frequently. That's my favorite part, is just working as a team.
So we touched on this a little, but what are some of the biggest challenges you face in pelvic floor therapy?
I think some of the biggest challenges that we face is just people knowing that it exists. I've had a lot of people that come in for hip pain and they're saying some things in their subjective that I'm like, hey, do you also leak when you cough or sneeze? And they're like, yeah, I've been doing that for 20 years. That's fine. I'm like, do you know there's something we can do about that? And they're like, what? I'm like, yeah. And they get all excited. And so just getting the information out there. And then trauma is a big part of something that can lead to pelvic floor dysfunction. So just helping people feel comfortable and confident enough to be ready to do the work and to try and make the changes. And sometimes that's just the timing in life when someone's actually able to put the work in, because life is busy, and especially a lot of moms raising young kids. Mm-hmm. We kind of have to be creative of like, hey, how can we actually find time for you to do these exercises? And it just might be 1 or three things that they can do in a day.
Yeah, I would agree. I think just putting the knowledge out there, people don't know about it.
I feel like over the years, I've heard a lot more about pelvic floor therapy. Not that it's trendy, but I feel like I've just started to hear a lot more about it. Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah, I started at Essentia 5 years ago, and I work in Superior, and there was one pelvic floor therapist, and now 10, 15. I mean, just the growth and the knowledge and the interest, and it's great.
I think even like scrolling, well, the algorithms got me, but even scrolling through like Instagram or Facebook, like, oh, here's another pelvic floor therapy reel. I'm glad that this is getting out there.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I've seen those too. So what advice would you give to someone considering pelvic floor therapy for the first time, but they haven't made that leap yet or made the appointment yet?
Do it. Your therapist wants to help you. That's why they got into this, and you are in control of anything that happens in the room. And usually therapists are wanting to educate you. So I bet you'll learn a lot. I have not had a single person tell me they regretted coming to physical therapy. They're usually very happy with the knowledge. And some of these people, when they've had symptoms for 7 years that have been kind of scary or hard to talk about, we can give them that power to feel more understood and feel more in control of their life.
And you're not alone. I mean, I guarantee you the symptoms you're having, someone else has had it. I've probably seen someone that week with the same symptoms. Most of the time, it's not as much work as you think to fix it. You have a right to be healthy and to feel good.
Well, I have to say, just talking to you both, you guys are like beaming talking about this topic. I can tell that both of you love your job. Paige Slemons and Amber Tenorelli, doctors of physical therapy at Essentia Health. Thank you so much for talking to me about pelvic floor therapy.
Absolutely.